Get your Bibles out. We got a few minutes. We better get some word. How many say we ought to get some word? Amen. Get your Bibles out. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the word? Hallelujah. We live by the word. Everything else we have is the way to enhance the delivery of the word. But the bottom line is, it's the word. You and I need the word. We live by the word. I want to turn over to a couple of scriptures. This is a season of faith for us. I love this subject. Lord knows I'm a rabbit in a briar patch. And the reason I feel this way is because many of us come from religious backgrounds. Nothing wrong with it. I did. I came from a religious background. My dad pastored for 32 years. What he knew was fantastic. What he had was great, but as I grew in God and I got under a teaching that helped me see things a little better, you know, because we walk in light. We walk in light. That's what we walk in. We have light. In this room is light. There's light in this room. It's light. You got to have light. You can't see without the light. If I turn off the darkness, you got to have light. You stumble over the chairs and things. And it's the light that makes the difference. We need light. I didn't come under a new, fresh, different, some kind of, you know, the Bible says that we establish things in the church. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, they're mine in the midst of them. If two agree on touching anything, that's talking about church discipline and stuff as well. And he's indicating to us and helping us understand that the church sets things up. When I see people that fight natural church things that churches do, you have to understand that the Lord used the church to establish these things. It's okay. And he's not offended by the things that we do. I mean, they're in the word and we've taken them and used them, you know, so don't get offended when they're taught, because the church has the ability to help build itself. You know, the Bible says that prophecy is subject to the prophet. I mean, there are things, and you look at all churches pretty much do some things the same. We all sing song services. Where'd you go to church that didn't sing a song service? We all sing a song service. Now, some of us do it better than others. Right now, family worship is just doing it better. Just doing it better. You know. And so, you know, thank God for it. We can do them better, right? All right, there's light. Here's light. But if I go out under the sunlight at the beach, there's more light. It's not bad light, it's just more light. I got more light. And I believe with all my heart that I can give to you more light. What you've been taught, we're not against. We may actually be more for it. That's the crazy part. I was growing up in churches that taught about healing and deliverance and getting your mind straight and all those kinds of things. And I've come to the place now where I actually believe what they taught me. How many understand what I'm talking about? How many really believe this? Listen to me. I want you to know something. The Bible is clear about what he wants for your life. And if you didn't get taught that, or you were taught that wrongly, you would address God wrongly. You have not because you ask not, and you ask amiss. The word amiss there means you ask it the wrong way. It's not that you didn't, that you could have asked, but did you ask it the right way? Did you ask it with the approach God properly? I mean, try to drive up to the White House on a three-wheel bike with a little horn on the front, go up to the door and have on a pair of shorts and an old t-shirt, you know, that was half falling apart and your hair was messed up and you hadn't brushed your teeth, and you drove up to the White House and you said, "I'm here to see the president." How many of you think you're getting in? I don't even think you get to the gate. How many would agree with me? You're not approaching right. Now, but if you come up in a Bentley, and you're wearing a Gucci suit or whatever. What's a famous suit? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't even know famous suits. I just wear Target or whatever. This is a Joseph A. Bank. I'm lying. All right, so anyway. But I mean, you come up with the right attitude, the approach is better, the approach is different. And if you had an agenda and things, and you were there with an invitation, it's not the same, is it? It's two different things. When we come to God, we have to come by invitation. We have to come as we've been invited. You have to come with the right gesture, with the right garment. So when you're talking about coming to God and you wonder why you're not getting answers, I'm telling you, have not because you asked wrong. You ask amiss. It's important. You got to find out what you're supposed to say. You got to find out what you got to bring to God. And this is the problem with what I was taught religiously. I ingested these things. Even some of the things like, you know, the idea that all that I've been through, because it's always taught in church that it just almost like it's got nothing to do with you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like it's nothing to do with you. I have dealt with sugar in my son says I need to call it diabetes, but I do not have that. I will not confess that in Jesus' name. I'm dealing with sugar. Somebody don't say amen. But it was because of cheesecake. It had nothing to do with God. In this case, it didn't even have to do with the devil. I can say, get off my shoulder, devil. No, that was my belly. I need to talk to the belly. I need to talk to my digestion. Brother Hagin used to tell a story. He said that there was a plant that was nearby that several people had died in a massive accident at the plant. Something blew up or something happened to this electrical plant and they died. And he was at the funeral for them. He did like a mass funeral for several of the people. And while he was there, they started doing the funeral. And the guy said, I don't know why God took them. Have y'all ever heard that at funerals? Well, God took them. God don't take folk. We go, but he don't take. We die, but he didn't kill. Never mind. Nobody's shouting on there. Y'all should shout. God's not a killer. The thief comes to. Oh, I need to get more shouting than that. Come on. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came. All right, we're going to all say it. I'm going to get everybody to quote it. Come on. I'm looking. I'm watching mouths. Let them move even if nothing's coming out. The thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy, but Jesus came that I might have life and life more abundantly. God wants me to live great life, good life, abundant life, above all life. He comes to pour stuff into my life. But like I said, you grow up and we are told in church that it's not about us. But I can tell you, cheesecake was my problem. But the guys that died, Brother Hagin was there, and the guy said that God takes so many of them. And the guy that ran the safety protocol for the thing looked up at Brother Hagin and said, it's amazing God don't take so many of them when they follow the rules. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? How true is that? That following the rules, that understanding the rules, understanding what the Bible declares about you, is the starting point for you to have everything God wants. Now, let me tell you what God wants. I know you might can quote 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I'm healed. You can quote that. We'll run around when we get sick, when we get into an emergency, and we'll go to God when we're throwing up at the toilet. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Or when we get financial jam, we come to the, I'll tell you this about my cousin now. There's going to be a family reunion, I'm sure of it. Everybody in the world is coming to see if they can pluck something out of the billionaire. That's how we are with God, right? We come into God's house, we come into the things of God, and we're stepping into the things of God, and now we have financial strain and stress, and all of a sudden we're quoting, I became rich with no sorrow added to it. Does anybody, everybody knows where I'm coming from. And when you're depressed, I can cast all my cares on you, for he cares for me. Here's what I want to tell you. Just please hear me. Please listen to me. I live my life like I told you Sunday night. I live my life that way. Lord, where am I going? What do you want me to do? I want to listen. I listen for his direction. I don't mind manifestations of miracles. I am glad that if I get into a jam, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord will deliver him out of them all. But let me tell you what's better. How about don't live sick? How about don't live without money in your wallet? How about live with your mind straight? How about living healthy? God wants you to live every day. Listen, every person in this room is not subject to the laws of this earth for their health, their finances, for their mind. You are a citizen of heaven. And he said, pray that you'll have heaven on earth. Jesus came to restore to us the dominion and the authority that God had given us when we started on the planet. Adam and Eve had dominion and authority. They named the animals. They had the right over everything. They were always fed, always provided for, never had needs, never were without. And it was because God had designed you and I. He's designed you to live in dominion, to live in authority, to live. Listen, God, listen, I believe God for everything. As for me, there's some of y'all know this verse. Some of y'all talking this. Come on. So you got to talk this talk. Come on. You got to talk this talk. You have not because you say not. Come on. You got to ask to have. You got to knock for the door to be open. You got to seek to find it. Come on. I mean, there's some of you just come, you sit, you've listened to religion. I want you to stop being religious and listen to what I'm telling you. I'll transform your life if you give me a little time, because I'll teach you the word and you'll hear what it says, and you'll find out that if God be for you, it does not matter who is against you. I'm not getting enough shouting. Somebody got to shout. Somebody got to get excited in here. Do you know God's for you? Do you know God's on your side? Do you know God's walking you through this thing? Do you know God's holding your hand? Do you know that no weapon formed against you will ever? Do you know? Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody ought to shout, I'm blessed in the city. Come on, say it. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Every blessing's tied to you. So we're in these scriptures. Write these down. You got to get your highlighter. Get your highlighter. Get your highlighter. Get your Bible. Open up your Bibles, your iPads, whatever. Open it up. I want you to highlight these scriptures. I want these scriptures to become substance. Substance to you. I want them to be more light. I was selling timeshare for a major corporation, huge. And they had started in Orlando, Florida, in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, built one of the largest timeshare companies in the world, still is. But I was on the ground floor. As a matter of fact, I took the job with this company. This is the funny part. I took this job. The lady in the church says to me, says, so I got a job for you. I want you to meet me. I won't tell you the company, but I'm at this company. Come over to this office building. I want to meet you. I thought that I was going over there to be a car parker, you know, or somebody like that. I was going to go be, you know, I didn't think I was going over there for anything else. I thought I was going to be like a housekeeper or something. I just needed a job in college. I get over there. They're selling this timeshare. And I'm good at it. If you can't tell, I'm good at selling. I mean, part of what you do as a pastor is inform folks. And so I was great. I was a good salesperson for this company and started making lots of money and doing very, very well for this company, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. I'm like 20, 21. And the Lord begins to deal with me. Now listen to me. Everything you need in life is in the Bible. All right, I'm going to say it again. Everything. In that word, there's nothing missing and nothing broken. The word of God is true. Let every man be a liar. That truth resonates in every area of your life. It resonates in your marriage. You know, we've been in Family Worship Center. I'm teaching this. We don't have families getting divorced at Family Worship Center. I'm not saying they don't argue. I argue with my wife, but we make up. Somebody say amen. Thank God for makeup. Hallelujah for makeup. But my marriage, listen, I don't expect my marriage to be worse tomorrow. I don't expect the problems that exist today to remain. And I'll tell you why, because there's an answer. The Bible told me that he wanted me to have a one flesh marriage. I am in a fight for my right. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. That's my right. That's not just a word sort of given. That is a God word. Okay, see, I'm going to get through this. You're going to get what I'm talking about. Now, it may require me to go pray, kneel down, fast, do all the things I'm doing. I don't know where you're at in life, but I want to tell you something. I'm going to get to you. And if this is the second or third time, let's make the third one work. Come on. If it's the first time, let's make the first one work. But you know, and it's hard because we have to examine, did God destroy your marriage? Well, we know God doesn't destroy marriages. Somebody ought to shout out amen. Amen. This is what I'm talking about. Your thirst for God and for this subject to work, what I'm about to teach you, we've got a few more minutes. What I'm about to teach you is that we have a subject matter. And that subject matter requires us to find out what the word says first. I have to know my rights. I have to know what belongs to me. I have to know if God wants me blessed. A great author wrote this. I love this. It's not in the Bible. I'm quoting him. It's F.F. Bosworth wrote this statement. If you want to write something down, I'd write this down. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I love that statement. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I know. Not sort of. I know God said that I could have a one flesh marriage. And I am entangled in finding out what the solution is. Don't get mad at me. This is hard because my wife said, you're talking not to get mad at you, you stop saying that. She's right. I just know that it's hard sometimes to accept this because we've been taught that it's, oh, well, we can just fall back on God. It was God's fault. It's not God's fault. Seek me first. Those aren't just words to me. And all these things. Seek me first. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm in this company and I don't know what to do. The Lord is dealing with me and he takes me in the word and opens the Bible up to Proverbs 18:1. Bam. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeks after and intermeddleth with all wisdom. I heard God as a 21-year-old. I heard him in my spirit. I heard him. It was like you talking to me. Go back to school. That's what that said to me. You need to go back to school. I had quit school. I walked out my junior year on all of my finals, never even went and took them. I just walked out of school. How crazy is that? I know y'all think y'all have problems, but I had some myself. I always tell people, let me tell you something. For God to have taken me and put his hand on me and anointed me and gave me what he gave me, I can tell you I didn't do it. I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't do it. It wasn't my will. It wasn't my works. I did not earn it. I could not have provided for it. I didn't pay for it. God gave me everything I could have ever desired because I trusted in the Lord with all my heart. I leaned not to my own understanding, but in all my ways I acknowledged him, and he directed. Listen to me in this room. Please listen to me. Hear me strongly today. Nothing you're going through, nothing you want or desire, nothing is not in the Word. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. Your healing is in the Word. If it's not, he's a liar. Either I don't understand it, I haven't applied it properly, you ask amiss. I didn't come clothed right. I didn't come with the right, I didn't address him properly. I didn't know what I was talking about. I was ignorant about it. But I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're dealing with. Everything you need is in the Bible. It is inerrant and it is infallible and it has no mistakes. It has no missing parts. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. Take these scriptures down. Write them down. The first one is the definition. The simplest definition given in the Word of God that carries everything that we have gained knowledge about is found here in Hebrews 11:1. This chapter is called the Faith chapter. It's extremely important for us to understand. But Hebrews 11:1, you ready? I'm going to read it out. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want you to turn to Hebrews 11:6. It's in the same chapter, same one, 11:6. Are you ready? But without faith, it's impossible. Look at your neighbor and say, impossible. To please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Can you see it? The question I want you to put on your mind is, what is faith and how important is it? What is faith and how important is it? So he says, without it, it's impossible to please God. Faith is not a word. Faith is not defined as a word. It is a supernatural force in the Word of God. I want you to understand, this word faith is defined as a supernatural force. It is a supernatural thing. It's supernatural. It's not just a verb or a noun or an adjective or an adverb. It is a real supernatural force, the understanding of which will transform your life. Many of us are not receiving because we don't know what faith is. We heard it, but what is it? We know it's there, but what do I do with it? If you don't know faith, if you don't understand the principle of faith, if you have not dug into the Word of God and stretched out everything you could about it, you're missing out in life on what God wants to do for you. You can't see. I can see. See, I can see how my cousin became a billionaire. It wasn't because she had a great business. It's because she had a great grandmother. Can you see? You'll see. So it's impossible to please him. How about Romans 10:17? Romans 10:17. If it is a supernatural force, I have to have, can't live without. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. The moment I heard God speak to me, through desire, a man separates himself, seeks after and intermeddles with all wisdom. I heard him speak to me. It was no longer words on a page. Some of you see the Bible as black and white letters. You see the white page with black letters on it, and all you do is read through it. But here's the thing. When you got saved, when you accepted Jesus Christ, something changed. You could have heard about the Word, heard about the Word, heard about the Word, heard about the Word. But one day, the word changed. It was no longer letters, it was revelation.
Yes.
It was no longer for me, and this is what preaching is about. It only takes a word. That's why I come every week. That's why you should come every week. Because even for me preaching the word, I want you to know something. As I'm preaching, I'm talking to me. I'm building up me. He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You're building yourself up. You're building yourself up. You're building yourself up. The moment I heard that, it was no longer Proverbs 18:1. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? It became, God said, through desire, a man having separates himself, seeks after, and intermeddleth with all wisdom. When that became a word from the Lord, listen to me now. When that became a word from the Lord, it didn't matter how much money it cost me. It didn't matter who the teacher was. It didn't. All that I knew was that God had inspired me. God had spoken to me. God's word had spoken out. You got saved the same way. You walk the aisle because one day somebody's preaching changed from words that you rejected. That's why I just keep preaching. Keep preaching. People talk bad, say bad things, whatever. Say good things. Some people, I got a lot of good come email. I get all kinds of information. Here's what I do to it. I throw it in the trash because God told me to preach it. I can't sit here and worry whether preachers that worry whether you're happy or not, they're not doing what God called them to do. We're here to inspire. We're here to enforce the word. We're here to culture something different in you. We're here to stimulate some water, some plant, some reap a harvest. Every preaching message that I preach is not a harvest message for everybody. For some of it's just water. For some it's just planting. I'm planting something. For some it's harvest. Most of the time I found out if I preach something and have a preacher come preach after me, they preach the same thing I preach, and everybody jumps up, runs to the altar, crying, weeping, getting saved, and come to, did you hear what he said? He used to offend me. I think I preached that for 6 weeks. I preached for 6 weeks. I said the same thing for 6 weeks. 6 weeks I said the same thing, and you're talking about how good he is? Because the harvest is his. The reaping is his. It's his. I'm almost done. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. It has to be received in your ear, but it has to be taken into your heart. It can't just be, I went to church. It can't be. And somewhere it won't be. Somewhere all of a sudden through faith, through teaching, that faith becomes real. Last scripture, Isaiah 1:19. Isaiah 1:19. You ready? If you'll be willing, this is Bible now. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. I want you to know something. God has an eating for you. God has a place for you to eat. He's got a place to fill you, to inspire you, to bless you, to help you, to inform you. He's got a blessing for you. And if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Somebody say, I want to eat. I want to eat. Hebrews 11:1 is defined this way. Now, faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of the things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. The conviction of their reality, faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. We have senses, taste, touch, feel, hear, see, and smell. In the previous chapter, it reads this way. In 38, and I want you to get this before I close. Just catch this. We know that faith is the substance. In the previous chapter, it reads this way, because the word now connects the two verses, the two chapters. Verse 10, chapter 10 says it this way. Now the just shall live by faith. I'm asking you the question, how important is faith? What is faith? It is ultimately important for your future. And the reason it says now is, if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Should we know what faith is? I'm not getting enough yeses, not. Should we use faith? The just shall live by faith.